All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome to today's live stream slash podcast. I'm here with Jason Barker. If you don't already know, Jason Barker is the host of two other podcasts, Knights of the Storm and The Foxhole, all on Rumble. Is that correct? Just on Rumble?
We streamed to Twitter as well, and then we got kicked off YouTube, so we can't do that one no more. I'm trying to get the Facebook up and going, but they're giving me a hard time right now, I think because of my content.
Sure, yeah, no surprise there. Yeah, so, and I'm just waiting to see, I guess, if people are going to join here in the comments, but we will be reading your comments out loud if you leave a comment. Yeah, thanks to everyone that's going to be in the live stream today. And today we're talking about a subject very near and dear to my heart. I'm going to try to, like, I guess be as objective and disciplined in talking about this because I've been a fan of this journalist for about 8 years now, I want to say. That is Gonzalo Lira. And currently he lives in Ukraine. Well, actually, we don't know right now where he actually is at. But he was living in Ukraine, in Kiev. And then last year, around the was it already last year? Was it 2 years ago now? That's where the time's going for me with with all these wars going on. Well, basically right around when the Ukraine-Russia conflict started again, and I say again because they've had many conflicts over the years. But when this recent one started, he basically started posting videos to YouTube on why basically the US government and Ukrainian government were spreading propaganda about what actually was going on. Example, you know, as you can probably remember, Jason, that people were saying that you know, Ukraine was winning the war and kicking Russia's ass, essentially, which if you know Russia from pretty much every war they've ever been in, that has never been the case. They have a very you know, I won't even say they have like the most powerful military. Obviously, we do know their weapons are still kind of Soviet dated, but they, you know, what they have is drive. A lot of the people there are very nationalistic. A lot of the people there are pro Stalin still. In fact, probably more so under Putin, because a lot of people too, and this is just from my knowledge of actually speaking to people in Russia that are Russians. Also, I am Russian and Ukrainian, which is kind of odd to be having this discussion. I'm American first and foremost, but that's where my heritage comes from.
Amen. So
But
Russia didn't do so hot against the Taliban, but that's because we sent John Rambo out there. And that was but
they've had some yeah, I mean they definitely haven't won every conflict, but in terms of, you know, major disputes, they usually come out as a victor. And I think especially the younger generation actually no, I'm sorry. I should say, well, it's kind of a mixed bag. The younger generation and like Gen Xers in Russia, if they even acknowledge that that's a thing there, are very much pro Stalin these days. And definitely Putin resembles that aspect to them, I think, as a strong leader. And I don't think they're pro Stalin because they're proud of him putting people in gulags as much as they are seeing him as a strong leader, which I think equates into the Russian military. I don't know if you'd agree with that.
Well, I think a lot of people, and it depends on how you grow up and what your parents teach you and what propaganda we see on TV as well, even in this country. But I think people tend to be more nationalistic if you look at it like let's think of a household. You got to take care of your own house before you take care of your neighbor's house. You know what I'm
Sure.
saying? And I think we need to be a little bit more like that. You know, I'm not saying be isolationist, but here in this country, I wish we would get more of a national kind of mindset. And that's what I see with Russia. With this whole Ukraine conflict, I hate to pick sides, but in all honesty, you know, we promised Russia that we would stay one border away.
Sure.
And we violated that over and over. And that's the problem with Ukraine right now, is that we want to get in there and make Ukraine part of the UN. And that puts us right on Russia's border. What did we do when the Cuban Missile Crisis, right?
Yeah.
We didn't stand for having our adversary on our border. So I can kind of relate, you know, to their mindset that, hey, we don't want these guys to be in the UN. And I think that's what it boils down to.
Yeah. Well, and that was the, yeah, and just the brief history, I think that was the case for Gorbachev around the time where, you know, the Soviet Union collapsed. And I use quotations for that because actually, I'm sure a lot of the viewers here are probably aware of Joel Skousen's work. But if you have ever read his book, Strategic Relocation, at least the fourth edition, which would have come out in 2020, actually, he lays out the essentially the facade of the falling of the Soviet Union and how the Communist Party just went underground for a short period of time and would, you know, pop back up as democratic. But obviously, you know, I think everyone knows.
I think that's kind of a European thing, to be honest with you. If you look at policies all across Europe, they're socialistic, communistic, even with a facade of democracy, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So basically, to kind of tie this whole thing in, Gonzalo Lira, and I'll just give a brief backstory for those who don't know who he is, obviously. And I think he's gained a lot more fame in recent time than he ever has. But he started out as a YouTube channel called Coach Red Pill. And he has acknowledged that it was a stupid name. I think everyone agrees with that, but it's kind of ironic that that was his YouTube name. And basically he started out just giving essentially like dating / life advice to, you know, young men, essentially. That was the whole goal of his channel. He was like internet dad, essentially. And I actually started watching his channel like around the birth of the channel. It just popped up. That's actually like what kind of red pilled me as a young, like 18-year-old person, is watching his channel and just listening to his ideas. And it really changed my mind about a lot of things just in life in general. I think his channel might have been taken down now too, but yeah, he started going on these rants. Like, I remember later in his kind of YouTube career, where he was making like plenty of money off of Patreon. And I know that because now he's just straight up admitted how much money he's made off of Patreon, which is something to the effect of like 150 grand that wow, he's just saved nice. Up. Yeah, yeah. And this is apparently what he just saved up in his PayPal account from having a bunch of patrons. But yeah, so eventually started going on these rants on how, you know, people should leave America, go to Eastern Europe if you want to meet a good woman, kind of thing. American women are toast. Like, don't even consider this as an option for a young man. Which I think a lot of people could probably resonate with that. But I think if you're a real patriot, you're not going to leave the homeland. Like, I'm not going to Eastern Europe. And my number one criteria for going anywhere else is not having a Second Amendment. So if there's no Second Amendment, I will not be going there to live.
I feel you on that. Backdrop.
Well, yeah, and I think everyone has their own idea of that, right? Like, I mean, some people, I guess, you know, probably to him, it doesn't matter. That's why he lives in Ukraine. And he had a wife that, it was his girlfriend, I'm sure, at the time. But he met this girl in Ukraine, got married to her. Now he has a couple children. And that's where he's been living, is in Ukraine, because of all these facts that he stated, essentially, with it being a good place for, you know, meeting a quality woman, essentially. He used to live in New York City. He used to live in Los Angeles. He's actually a very famous writer, like an author. So he used to, that's how he kind of made, I think, like most of his money was writing. And then he started doing filmmaking, and then retired from all that stuff, and then started doing these YouTube videos. But then I was going to say, when he started going on these rants, then that's when the war broke out and he started making these videos, basically just telling everyone what's really happening. And that, you know, the media is not, he's like, hey, listen, Ukraine is literally getting their asses handed to them. This is all lies. And, you know, they're bombing, you know, the Russians are like coming in, or this is what he initially, what happened, which I think everyone's aware of now, is that Russia would just come in and surround a city. Like, they wouldn't even just bomb the crap out of it initially. They would just surround the city so people just couldn't leave. And that's what he was talking about primarily, and saying that, you know, basically people were trying to evacuate before they couldn't anymore. And that 30% of the country had evacuated Ukraine. And he was essentially just stating facts and his opinion about the war and the Zelensky regime, and talking about how corrupt they were, and that they, you know, as we know now, were had a lot of neo-Nazi ties within the government. And then he got arrested multiple times after saying that. And now he is, well, we don't know where he is now, and I'll explain that in a second. But yeah, basically, after getting arrested, I guess he made his, like, I don't know how many times he got arrested. You were saying it was twice.
Well, I found two articles. I'm sure it's been more than that, but I just, because to let everybody, be perfectly honest with everybody, I didn't know who this guy was until you talked about doing the show, and I went and looked him up, watched some of his videos. Seems like a pretty decent dude. But yeah, I found a couple articles going back into last year. Actually,
yeah, let's pull this up.
Going back two years ago. So this was on May 5th. This is a 2023 article. It talks about how the security service, and that's of Ukraine right there, they detained him. And a lot more than just detention happened with this guy. And if you share that video, he talks about it, about getting beat and they take his money. And it's just a corrupt government. And you know, before the war started, before we got involved with all that nonsense with funding it and stuff, it was well known that Ukraine was the most corrupt country, you know, as far as our government goes. I'm not going to talk about
people, yeah.
But oh, yeah. Well known, in that whole region of the world, they were the most corrupt. So yeah, I found this article that talks about one of his arrests, and then this one here, a Chilean American. So he's actually, his heritage, I guess, is from Chile.
Yeah, he's both citizens of both countries. I think he was born in Chile, raised in America, kind of thing. His dad did something where he was crossing borders all the time growing up, I guess. That's it. I just wish
he would have lived in the Midwest, because you can find plenty of good women out here. I'm telling you, the Rust Belt.
Yeah, that's kind of I'm thinking about going out to the Midwest.
I'm telling you, it's a place to be. Your inflation is, you still got the inflation, of course, but
it's a little bit more tamed. Yeah.
The cost of living, you know, your rent is not going to be $3,000 a month, you know,
right.
It's going to be 900, 1,000, something like that around here
for a house. So I remember this is what was happening, is he was getting arrested a lot. It might have been more than twice. I know that's what you have there. I think it was probably closer to like five times, but I could be wrong about that. But after he kept getting arrested, he would come back and then put out more videos talking about getting arrested. And from my personal standpoint, I think it's a noble act that he was doing, although unwise, in my opinion. If I had been arrested for free speech in Ukraine, I would have just left the country immediately. To me, it's not worth it.
You could hold your info and report it after the fact.
That's kind of what my thought was, you know, hold your info, report it after the fact, get out of the country. But he kept doing this. And again, a noble act, but unwise, in my opinion. Ended up getting arrested. And so here's the crazy thing, is I guess what happened too is the Ukrainian government has taken control over all of his Google accounts upon like the last arrest that happened. They found his laptops, they went into the Google accounts and, you know, seized all of his personal information, therefore seizing a lot of the videos that he had, because he actually had footage of him getting arrested. And that was online. And, you know, it's crazy because they actually show, and I don't know if it couldn't have been his footage. I think the footage was taken from some soldiers, like if they had body cameras or something like that. That's what was going on, because they literally walk into the front desk of his apartment where he lives, and they all have like smirks on their face, like they're really, they obviously have personal thoughts on doing this. Like, it's not, because, you know, like, if you're police in America, and I'm not saying this is the truth, but this is how it's supposed to go, is that you're not supposed to have a personal opinion on the people you're arresting. You're just enforcing the law, or you're not. Obviously, in Ukraine, that is not the case, because you can see all these soldiers literally, you know, laughing about how they're going to go arrest this 50-something-year-old journalist guy out of his, at 3 in the morning or whatever. But I found a video, because they took down the original one, and initially his face wasn't blurred. Let me see if I can show this here real quick. Go into.
Yeah, just real quick on that note.
Yeah.
In this article here, it says that they, and this is how you know a regime is corrupt, and I don't know why we fund these stupid people. So,
let me pull this up here.
Yeah. While he was in jail, he says he was extorted for $70,000. And he talks about it where the man, you know, whoever, I don't know what they call him, but the guy in charge of the jail or whatever, it's not them that beat him. They coerced the inmates to beat him to get this money. That is as corrupt as you can get. This is some stuff like you hear, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about Mexico. I've been down there. It's a nice place. But you hear horror stories about that. Like the police will pull you over and rob you.
Well, it depends where you are in Mexico. I mean, obviously, they have tourist destinations, but I wouldn't be found in Sinaloa, you know. Ukraine. So let me show this video real quick. Someone added music to this, unfortunately. I kind of wish it didn't have it, but.
Up here.
I mean, this is at like 3 in the morning. Anyways, that's not even the full video, but look at how many soldiers they sent to go arrest this dude. You can tell, I mean, obviously he's not a threat, clearly a political reason to make an arrest. But
you're dressed like they're in combat, like in a combat zone, and that's what I'm seeing here in America.
I think every other country but the United States has federal police, meaning that they're systematic with the military. But at the same time, I don't know how many guys are in this, at least 3 that I can see here. I think there was more than that, though. Raiding his apartment, arresting this guy, you know, around 3 o'clock in the morning, because they don't like the videos that he's putting on YouTube, you know.
Yeah, well, we got it going on here now. It's slowly. I mean, look at the January 6th, folks.
Today's January 5th.
We had people put in jail, and I think typically, what is it, 48 hours? You can't be detained for more than 48 hours before they have to charge you with something in this country. But they've been held for how long before?
A couple of years
before they got charges, you know, and I'm sure they went in full battle combat fatigues and the vest and the fully automatic M4, probably 30 deep to go pull someone out of their house at like 1 o'clock in the morning type thing. You know, do we need that in this country? But those kind of countries understand that's like you said, they nationalize their police force, but we should have local sheriffs here. That's the way we're constructed. But I don't know. It's been normalized.
And you know, the interesting thing with that, right, is like, so now you have the U.S. funding all this money to Ukraine. So that's all a ploy from them. Because I know that, I have this article here, too, that Gonzalo Lira's dad actually tried to petition the U.S. government to get him out of the essential, you know, gulag that he was about to go to. And they did nothing. Essentially ignored all of his requests. And he has ended up trying, I guess, to seek asylum in Hungary. I guess there's some other political reasons for that, being that, I guess, his claim is that Hungary doesn't go along with the rest of the EU. I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, you know, if he was just to get down to Mexico somehow, he could just walk across the border and be home.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I was thinking, I'm like, dude, you should have gone to Russia. I mean, honestly, he talked about that. Yeah, I know. He said he couldn't do it. Okay, here's the photos of him getting arrested. Can you see this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so here's the photos of him getting arrested.
What, is that a suppressor?
Yeah.
M4? Oh, wow. Those are things I can't own here in America, but we fund this nonsense for them to carry that.
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then, yeah, so I remember when this video came out, and obviously you can't find it anymore on YouTube, but you could tell the guy's incredibly harmless. Not really sure why there's multiple pictures here. I'm sorry. It was not, I guess it's not Kiev. It's Kharkov. Is that how you say it? I don't know how to say that. I don't speak Ukrainian or Russian, unfortunately, even though that's my heritage. The rest of my family does, believe it or not. Here's the history I was talking about. He emerged as a novelist, attempted a career as a filmmaker, and then marketed himself as a dating coach known as Coach Red Pill. Obviously, they're trying to make him look poorly here because he actually had a very successful career in all three of those. And he has the finances to show for it, just like you were talking about here. I'm just trying to see the part. Yeah, so here's his dad basically talking. His dad is 80 years old. And apparently him and Gonzalo have had an estranged relationship for a very long time, which is unfortunate. But I have heard Gonzalo Lira mention this in some of his older videos where he talked about, you know, having essentially a terrible relationship with his dad. They didn't even speak to each other. And then this is when his dad came out of the woodwork and basically trying to find his son because he, you know, realized even though they didn't speak to each other, that he didn't want his son to be in a Ukrainian prison. This is with Greyzone, actually. Look at that. I didn't realize that was with Greyzone. So his dad told Greyzone that he worries about his son being tortured and could not sleep normally. I can only say that this episode has marked my life because it is living a slow death of a son.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
He didn't renounce his American citizenship, right? He was over there as an American citizen.
Yeah, he has two passports. Okay. He has a Chile and a USA passport.
So I did notice in the two articles that I found about two of his arrests, one of those articles did not tag the American on it. They said it was Chilean. So in my mind, they did that intentionally so that people reading the article wouldn't realize that, hey, they got an American over there. These people we're sending money to have got an American held captive that all he did, you know, observed his First Amendment right to report what he sees.
So I think
that was by design that they, that's some guy from another country. What do I care about that? But he was actually an American as far as I don't think he gave up the citizenship and became a Ukrainian.
No, he didn't. And he confirmed that he still has both passports when he was crossing the border to Hungary. And that was the last, and I'll get to that in a second. But then here, I just want to talk about this real quick, because this is, I believe this article, let me see if I can find a date. Yeah, this is 7 months ago. So this would have been in, July?
That's about, I think that's when he went missing, right? Sometime around there, or he got released and then he was supposed to go to court or something like that. And then he tried to leave the country, which I don't know why you would advertise that all over the internet that, hey, I'm at the border right now getting ready to go here. I'm sure.
Yeah. Which I'll show that video in a second. But I just want to say, okay, right. Oh, I'm sorry, I just lost it. where did it go? What I was just reading here. Here we go. He doubts, this is his dad. He doubts that his son will ever be released. This is another quote. At present, they are preparing a kangaroo court. Zelensky and his thugs do not fight for democracy and freedom. They fight to keep themselves in power with the blessings of Biden. End quote. Lira, this is his father, senior, said that his son, quote, he feels that the Ukrainian citizens are not being told the truth as to the results of the war while Ukraine is being destroyed. And he lives there, so he would know. Gonzalo cannot be accused of being a Russian propagandist nor agent. He simply has openly expressed to his near 300,000 followers his impressions of the war. He has never contacted a Russian soldier nor a Russian agent. As an American citizen living in the country that his two children live, he has expressed his right of free speech, end quote. And right. Then we go on to say, even before his son's arrest on May 1st, Lira says that Gonzalo was already a prisoner in his own home. Quote, Gonzalo was literally kidnapped by the SBU. That is the Ukrainian
security.
Secret police, essentially, even though they don't want to call it that. He said this is his first arrest in April of 2022. Quote, and after 1 week of cruel interrogations, he was released under house arrest, end quote. And then obviously we know that after this, he went on to continue to make videos. And then it goes on to say that the SBU, is another quote, the SBU destroyed all of his communication equipment, and they held his passport. And then that's when we find out that he got it back. And then this is one more quote. For the U.S. government, it would only take a phone call to Zelensky to free Gonzalo, insisted his father. The world knows that Zelensky is a U.S. puppet, but he does not respect the right of an American citizen to exercise his freedom of speech, end quote.
So this is the equivalent of, Biden allowing Zelensky to send people over here to arrest me.
It's yeah.
The equivalent of that. And we're giving these people money. This is where my money, my tax dollars go over there. And I don't approve of it at all. I don't approve of paying for other people's wars anyway. But imagine if it was a Fox reporter or CNN reporter, what happened to Biden? Oh, you're not getting $1 billion. Unless this person's fired. What happened to that? It would, like you said, a phone call. A phone call would all it would take, and they could have him back here in the U.S., in safe hands and stuff. So I don't know. I'm having a hard time coming up with words because I'm just so PO'd right now.
No, I that's why I was saying at the beginning of this, like, I'm really going to try in today's stream to not get emotional about it. Because obviously for me, too, it's like, it is heartbreaking to see this happen, especially when you've been invested into some individual like this. I mean, for me personally, I've watched him for my entire adult life. And seeing this happen to him is heartbreaking. And I do agree with you that it's unwise. But I understand also at the same time why he did it, to post the video, or a couple. He posted like three videos in a row of part one through three of him basically trying to seek asylum in Hungary, which I feel like is a bit naive, but maybe I'm super jaded. I wouldn't trust any country at this point in my life to seek asylum in the world. They're all in lockstep, you know. Maybe like some African country.
Yeah, right.
That hates the U.S., maybe that would be viable, like Egypt or something. Yemen, you know, you can go live in Yemen, you won't be found. No one would want to find you because you get your ass killed living there. But, you know, I probably wouldn't choose Hungary is all I'm getting at with that. Untrustworthy.
Yeah, I mean, anything in Europe there is all, you know, part of the same. They're just a little fingers off the same freaking puppet hand, you know.
Yeah.
The UN runs it all.
Yeah.
I mean, when there's money involved, you know, when there's money involved, you can't trust the government, and it's
well. And I wanted to. I'm sorry. I was just gonna say I wanted to mention the $70,000 that you were talking about.
Yeah.
Because he went. So the last, I guess he served in four different prisons, and I guess, you know, what happened was, you know, in the first prison, he met a bunch of other prisoners that were there for like, you know, almost six years, some of them. None of them have been convicted. They're all just awaiting a sentence for the same crimes that he allegedly committed against free speech. And then after doing, and after they seized all his laptops is where they found out that Patreon money in his PayPal account had like $150,000, something close to that number in there. It basically used the prisoners, like what you were saying, to torture him in his prison cell to get him to wire them the money. So obviously more than
just, I wonder who got that money. Was it the guards? Was it
they probably split it with the prisoners and the guards kind of thing. They probably didn't split it equally, but they probably, you know, told the prisoners there was 70 grand in there, knowing that there was more, so they would only have to split it in half kind of thing, is my thought on that. But yeah, I mean, they wiped this guy out, broke, you know, and then he was able to finally make bail, and now he's, you know, oops, I'm sorry. I'm trying to...
You know, there's another thought process to that as well. They use lawfare to break people here in this country. You know, the police will charge you with a bunch of stuff, no evidence, charge you, but then you got to defend yourself. And it could very well be that, I don't know what their legal system looks like over there, but they may have taken that money not to keep for themselves, but just to break him so he couldn't defend himself. That's a very, very good possibility. Because if you got no money, you're going to go with the defender that they assign you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's, I mean, they do it all the time here in the U.S. too. They'll freeze people's assets. And then how do you pay for a lawyer if your assets are frozen, you know?
No, absolutely. And I think, and he even mentioned that, essentially if he is to get, apparently when he posted this video that I'm going to show in a second, he had his court date on a Wednesday, which was a couple days from the time that he posted this video, in which he claimed, hey, I'm not going to show up for this court date because if I do, I am guaranteed to get convicted and sent to a forced labor camp by the Ukrainian government. Now, a lot of people don't want to believe that, you know, Ukraine is involved in these actions of having forced labor camps. But pretty much once you hit we could probably say where the Berlin Wall used to be. Once you hit that dividing line, you're going to find a lot more countries than you thought involved in forced labor camps under the radar. I don't know if you agree with that or not.
Oh, I absolutely agree. I'm just looking at how they do business and how they grift money. I mean, you couldn't get a more Nazi-ish country than Ukraine.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I was going to say. And the Nazis actually were in Ukraine, as we know, and the Ukrainians were severely punished by the Russians for that after the fact. But here, I'm going to play this video real quick.
Yeah, and it's nothing on the Ukrainian people. It's just on the government, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I hope this is in the right spot where he's going to be talking about crossing the border.
Yeah, I think this is about,
you have to recognize when you have actual control over some situation and when that control is beyond you and there is absolutely nothing that you can do.
Mm-hmm. He's talking about the earthquake that he
nothing
was
that you can do except move forward. So either I will cross the border into Hungary in the next couple of hours, or I will be arrested again, and God knows what will happen to me. So if I post again here on the video and on Twitter, then you know that I made it. And if I don't, then you know that I didn't. And I would ask you humbly, that
5 months ago,
if you don't hear from me again, anybody and everybody who's watching this video, please raise a ruckus, raise a fuss, because ultimately, you know, as you can see in the indictment that I posted on Twitter, all of the pages are there. You can read it for yourself in Ukrainian and in English. The charges against me are just because of my opinion about this conflict.
And I'm gonna stop it right there. But yeah, this is this is just a heartbreaking video to watch. Because yeah, what you just said, that was 5 months ago.
Yeah.
And
we're funding Ukraine.
We're funding Ukraine. I have not seen a single video from this guy since.
No, that's his last one. This 5 months ago. So we can assume that he got arrested and is either in a jail or, like he said, a forced labor camp.
Yeah, that's it.
Or he's dead. Or he's dead. And I want to for your audience, you know, this seems like this is something that goes on in other countries and we can't do anything about it. Guess what? It's going on here as well. Back in 2014, maybe. I was sitting at home, got home. I just got back from a deployment and I was kind of chilling at the house and I'm flipping through and the news comes on and it was Fox News and they were saying something critical of Obama. There's nothing big. It's just they were kind of ripping on him for something he had done, policy he had done in the past or whatever. And my daughter was like, her jaw dropped and her eyes got huge. And she's like, oh my God, did they just say that? And I was like, yeah, why? She says, can't you go to prison for saying something bad about the president?
She literally
told me that. And, you know, she's in her 20s now. So people at her age grew up, and that's kind of the mindset that you can't speak bad about the government. You can't criticize the government. You know, yeah. We're not that far away from it here. And it appalls me. It grinds my gears that this guy's an American and we're just letting this happen over there when it would just take a phone call.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely. You're not getting, instead of the $1 billion, you're not getting your $30 trillion or whatever the heck we're sending them. You know,
yeah, I wish I had
Tomahawk
that video.
Missiles and.
Yeah. Well, no, it's definitely happening here. I think, you know, the war on free, you know, it's kind of a mixed bag too, right? Because it's like technically free speech is more viable than ever. Because we have independent media made possible. I mean, even doing like this stream, you know, 20 years ago was not going to happen. It's just not, you know, even maybe 15 years ago was not possible. Yeah, right. You know, so to be able to be your own media was just not a thing. So hence it would have been technically more controlled back then. But then again, now you have the contrary where, you know, you just get banned off stuff or you get shadow banned. So they'll make it so the algorithm, you know, can't take your video to where it needs to go. Or, you know, something like, you know, Facebook will, as we saw in 2020, will just literally, grift their videos that they want people to see, in front of people's eyes rather than giving a fair play, to both parties, as we saw with Associated Press.
Well, that's come out that Facebook and Twitter have both done that, where they have these algorithms that go and, you know, you should be, it's kind of like doing a Google search. The results that come up at the top used to be what most people looked at. So they got to the top of the stack on merit. And then it got into where, well, you can pay to get your stuff boosted a little bit. And now it's like, they just kind of look at your content and they'll bury you. David Knight's had this problem.
Yeah, and, Jeffries, I think, has the same.
Oh, Don Jeffries, yeah. But David Knight, I literally typed in, and I sent him this stuff. I think he reported on it. I put in letter for letter, https://thedavidknightshow.com in the Google search.
And oh, it's buried. Like, yeah.
It wasn't there.
Yeah, I can't find it either.
It was not there. Yeah, I think he's good now.
David Knight, I think, is the most censored journalist on the internet, straight up. And I'm not even just saying that, like, I actually agree with that because although he stayed on Twitter, like he didn't get banned like Alex and Owen did. You can't even find his website. I actually have still had problems finding it. So, and on top of that, YouTube's banned him. They even banned his personal music, which is, I mean, it's like, how do they even know that?
Christmas music.
Yeah.
Christmas music.
Yeah, exactly.
No words in it. There's no message. It's just instrumental music, and they banned it.
Yeah, he's banned. His social credit score is bad.
It's in the negatives, brother. He's got negative social credit.
Yeah, well, I think that's so. You're seeing that kind of stuff, and you know, obviously, with this guy Gonzalo Lira, he made some unwise decisions. broadcasting his stuff, but at the same time, I think he reached a lot of people with his message. I know when I was watching his stuff at the start of the Ukraine war, because he was actually there. I know Gerald Celente had a guy on too at the time that was actually living in Kiev during all of that, and they all shared very similar information that was essentially 180 degrees the opposite of what the U.S. government media.
The people can't know how horrible this government is, because they wouldn't like be in favor of sending them money.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, right? Like, if you're flying a Ukraine flag in your yard right now, as I see from time to time, you know, I stand with Ukraine. Now we have the two other countries that people are splitting in half as well on that. But if you have a flag that says, I stand with Ukraine, you don't really even know who you're standing with. For one, you've probably never been to Ukraine in your life. I would almost
find it on a map.
I was just about to say that. I was going to say, I bet 80% of Americans don't know where Ukraine is on a map. And I bet you that they have no idea who even the president of Ukraine is, more than likely. I'm sure they could tell you the president of Russia, but they probably couldn't even tell you the name.
Our people, okay, I watched the videos you did, the little shorts of the man on the street. Half the people you asked about the presidency didn't even know who was running in our country. But real quick, can I throw a comment out here? It's kind of relevant.
Sure.
Karen Carpenter, she talks about the censorship on Google searches. She says results are curated and also truncated on Google and most search engines now. Very limited and censored results available. Exactly. Whatever the narrative they want to push, that's what you're going to find. But I wanted to point out the reason that's relevant is because if you use something other than Google, almost all other alternative search engines actually use Google.
Yeah, Google's
in the back end. The only thing is you may not have the tracking. That's the only difference. So it is hard to find a good search engine. That's why it's important for us to share with each other. That's the only way we're going to get our messages out there, you know, to share stuff.
No, absolutely. Google is definitely pretty much owns everything. I mean, they own YouTube. They might own, I mean, DuckDuckGo sold
that corporation. They A to Z, baby. A to Z.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually don't know what a good private search engine is anymore. DuckDuckGo, when they got sold, I was kind of like, well, I don't know what else I'm going to use anymore.
Well, you can use Tor browser if you want to get on the dark web, which also hits the regular web, but you might get some pretty gnarly results.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I actually wouldn't know anything about that.
it's just basically a browser you download and use, and it gets results that aren't pushed. I won't get too deep into it, but your DNS servers and things like that, that's where, when you search something, it resolves that name to an IP address. And if you're running a site, so they can actually take, you know, when they talk about, you know, these terrorists, they're putting videos up and we can't stop them. No, that's not true at all. It is absolutely not true. I can cut off an entire country from being accessible.
Sure.
The IPs are done. They're structured. You got your net in your subnet, and you could cut out an entire subnet and take out an entire internet service provider, an entire country. You can do that. We have the technology to do that. So basically what the dark web is, I don't know how it resolves it, but it'll find websites that won't be published. Like, so if I search it on Google and a regular like Brave or something, it won't find a result, but this other one knows where to find it and resolve that into an IP address.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and one thing I was going to say about that is if you ever try to search up anything about Julian Assange, nothing, not even his bio will pop up unless it's about them criticizing him for the WikiLeaks emails.
And social media has made it so much worse because they can push out any narrative. The whole I stand with Ukraine and put your flag there. I guarantee you it was probably about 1 million bots that did that. And it influenced people to do the same because it's kind of like the Milgram experiment. You know,
well, think about it like with, think about it with Facebook, right? Like, I don't know if you've seen this, but on your profile picture, you can essentially put like a watermark under your image that says whatever political slander they want to promote at the time. So like, around the time where vaccines were, getting rolled out heavily for COVID. They, basically put as a watermark, like, oh, I took the jab, you know, and you could put that on your Facebook profile.
I didn't know that. I don't really mess with Facebook too much. I'm trying to for the show, but they're giving me a hard time. So,
yeah, I don't even mess with Facebook for any of this stuff. For the same reason,
for birthday reminders, because my whole family. Yeah, that's what it's for.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say too. At the same time, like they just have everything. They have "I Stand with Ukraine." They have, I'm sure they have something about Palestine because that's the narrative that they want to push now.
I should put up a statement that says, "I stand for forced labor, imprisonment without charge, murder of children, and all that." And what are you talking about? Oh, I stand with Ukraine.
Yeah. You know, seriously though. I mean, think about it. That is what you're saying without, if you are ignorant, of that aspect, that's what you're supporting is,
And, people don't realize that I actually had to do a report as one of my NCOES schools, and we had to do a report on something, and I did it on social media, because in the military, if you get caught up with a hate group or something like that, you can get in a lot of trouble, a lot of trouble being associated with, the KKK or something like that.
Like you're saying, I'm sorry, go back to the first part that you said. If it went while you're involved in what, the military?
When I was still in the military, part of what we do, we go to these NCOES schools, and what that is, it's non-commissioned officer I forget what the ES stands for, but what it is you go to these classes before you can make the next rank. And it's a pretty long school, and there's things you have to do. You have to learn how to get up and give a presentation in front of a bunch of people. You got to learn more the next level of your job. But the presentation part for mine, what I did was I did mine on social media, and I pulled out some examples where you could just see something, a funny picture, a funny meme or whatever, and you repost it. But then if you look at the original person who posted it, it's like some kind of hate group. And what I was trying to get at was for the class was be very careful on social media that you don't accidentally associate yourself with these bad things. And when people, stand with Ukraine, if you don't know what you're standing for, you're kind of getting wrapped up and you're kind of being part of the problem.
And I think that, literally the problem is the media. A lot of people, they don't even know what alternative media is, or they've been told that it's evil, essentially. Or it's all conspiracy stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't even like that word, conspiracy theory, because most of the conspiracies are not theories. Most of them are proven facts. I think that there's a website even called Conspiracy Truth, because most of them, I'm not saying all of them, there's a couple that I don't agree with for sure, but most conspiracy theories have already been proven to be true.
Try defending yourself in court if you get charged with a crime and they tack on conspiracy and say, "Hey, judge, that's a conspiracy theory."
Seriously. Well, and who came? I mean, the CIA came up with that term after the JFK assassination. Was that word conspiracy theory, because it's blatantly obvious that the CIA. Helped with that assassination. And it's blatantly obvious that the CIA is very much involved in all media propaganda as of current. So all the crap you see on Facebook with "I Stand with Ukraine," anti-Russian propaganda, which I'm not even defending the Russians, but it's gotten to a point where you're so black and white. That if you even say a bad thing about Ukraine, you must be pro-Russian. I'm not pro anything. I'm pro-America, but I'm definitely not pro supporting neo-Nazi regimes that are no better than the Russians for all intent purpose.
Yeah, I think me and you are on the same page, and I don't like paying for somebody else's war anyway. I understand if a country is aggressive towards one of our allies, then maybe we come help and defend it. But that's got to be voted on by Congress.
Even that though, for me, I mean, I'm very much a purist on the whole thing. I don't think we should be allies with any country other than the fact of free trade. But in terms of war, you go deal with your own problems.
Well, that's the thing. We can't win someone else's war. Even if we did, let's just say we were righteous in our effort to like go help a country out and we fight the war for them and we win it and we give them their freedoms like we used to have here. Do you think they're going to appreciate that? No.
Yeah. You have to
have some skin in the game to be able to hold on to that freedom.
Yeah, that's why, the whole thing. Like, because everyone would talk about, well, World War II was justified. The only reason we even went into that war is because of Pearl Harbor. They came and hit us. We went there, and that's even a debatable conversation on if them attacking Pearl Harbor was planned or not. But at the same time, Ukraine, Russia has literally done zero to U.S. soil yet. All of our tax money is going there. Now it's going to Israel. Literally, you got Hillary Clinton in office with the face of Joe Biden right now. I mean, this is what
I knew it was a mask.
Well, and I think, I'm not saying that Trump wouldn't have gotten us into war. We might have avoided a war with Palestine and Israel with Trump. I don't know about Ukraine and Russia, but this is essentially what should have happened in 2016. What's happening right now with the Ukraine conflict, or I should say Ukraine-Russian conflict, because I feel like even when you title it as the Ukraine conflict, it automatically puts Ukraine as if they're in the right, which for me personally, I don't see that as a fact. So, bottom line, and I don't know what your opinion is. I don't know if with Trump you think – well, actually, I kind of do want to ask you this. What do you think will happen – if Trump gets elected with all these wars, what do you think will happen?
I think they're going to continue to go on, but the optics of our involvement will be hidden, so it's kind of like saying we don't have boots on the ground in like Syria or something. No, we have advisors. That's boots on the ground.
Isn't that what George Bush said that?
Yeah. Or, I remember when they, they talk about military spending in Iraq and Afghanistan. They talked about military spending for the military. They didn't talk about the spending that went into like the mercenary, the contracting. Sure. That's a whole different budget. And that's
all private, a lot of it, right?
Right. And, I think that's what will happen. It'll be more contracted out, but the same amount of money will be going there. The same things will be done. Even if well, that's what we're doing now. We're paying their own people to fight the war. So they're basically our mercenaries, if you think about it.
No, that's a great connection. I think you're right about that. I think people, I think personally, just in terms of the geopolitics, I think there's too many. I'm actually just going to say the word Republican in this sense. I think there's too many Republicans focused on China, thinking that. Because here's what I've noticed, just talking to. Hold on a second. My cat here is climbing my camera. I think in terms of Republicans who watch like Fox News, they take in the mainstream media, a lot of them, and they buy it and they think, whatever. I don't know really what they think because I'm not them. But from what I gather is that they are very heavily focused on conflict with China. Which is valid. It's not far fetched, but they actually give Russia credit a lot of the time. They'll just say, "Oh no, they're cool," and it's like, "No, you don't want conflict with any of these countries. It's all bad, especially like what's going on in Iran right now. Very not good. Don't want that." Sorry, go ahead.
Every war. Is a couple leaders that want to fight each other, whether it's multiple countries' leaderships, they want to fight each other to control where this invisible line is called the border for control of resources. The people themselves don't care, but they're the ones that fight the war. They're the ones that die in war and they lose their children. And then the bankers, the international banks and stuff, they're the ones that make all the money. So they say all wars are bankers' wars, but they got to have their puppets. It's kind of a multi-tiered, almost a pyramid scheme, and the bankers are at the top of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of bankers here, I just want to share this with everyone because I kind of don't talk about this a lot. But if you are interested in reading about some serious, you know, banking knowledge, I guess to toot my own horn there a little bit, but it's, you know, just information I've gathered over the years. I have this article on thepurgenewsmedia.com. Titled Real Secrets of the Illuminati. The whole purpose of this article is to expose the Rothschild banking dynasty and their involvement in every world war,
yep,
literally, that we've had. And to basically prove that they have funded both sides of every war since Napoleon. And all of this that you see is facade.
You should see if Angry Tiger would come on and do a show with you talking about that, because he observes the same things.
With the bankers and stuff.
Yeah, like the bankers fund both sides of the war. He talks about that all the time. He goes into depth about it. But
yeah, you know what? I will. I'll message him on Twitter after this and see if he wants to do it. I think everyone. Here's the thing. I think everyone gets emotionally invested into all of these external conflicts. You know, you see the stuff in Palestine, like the babies dying. It's a terrible thing. I mean, I acknowledge that it's awful. Yet at the same time, now look at where you're invested into. Can you call yourself an American if you're invested in someone else's political and world problems?
Well, and I'll go one step further and say, look at your politicians that you elect to put up there to represent you. Their policies are actually representative of what the UN wants.
That's a great point.
So they're not representing us anymore. And whenever they like to go to war, because if I'm a politician and I go on board with the war and we sign over all this money, we're going to send this money. Well, that money then goes into our military industrial complex because we sell them the weapons, right? And that's really what it is. A lot of this stuff isn't actual money going to these people. It's weaponry. It's, you know, this value of weaponry. So then that money goes back into the military industrial complex, all these people who build weapons and vehicles and stuff. And then that in turn goes back into the politician's pocket in the form of campaign contributions or a job down the road. So they will send off a trillion of your dollars, or our dollars, to get back like 200,000 in their pocket. That's how it works. It's a big circular thing. That's why they are on board with going to these wars. It's not because they feel like Ukraine needs the help or that we have some bleeding heart. It's all about making their own money, you know, but they can't just go out and do it straight away because they got to get reelected. So they kind of play that game about, you know, pretend like they're not for it, but we got to help them and they got to make it look good.
Absolutely. It's very sick. One thing I want to just mention in a closing here, just in regards to what you're talking about, and with this article and with the big picture, is it plays with people's emotions. They get them, they get the people invested into the bleeding heart aspect of war. We need to go there. We need to be the good guys. Well, you got news for you. You know, we're not the good guys. Haven't been the good guys. In my lifetime ever, probably in yours too, actually.
Yeah. And you know, I was military, so I was on board with all this stuff, and I still value the military. I just don't value what we do with our military, you know?
Yeah. I think you're right. I mean, you guys just end up being pawns for guys in suits that have a lot of money to bankroll. If they're even bankrolling it, you know, everyone's got a stake in this game. You can think of war, I think, like its own version of the stock market. You know, politicians have absolutely zero emotion invested into it other than their wallet. They throw the money down, and all they want to do is make their money back and then some.
Oh, it's our money, though. It's not even their money.
Yeah, I guess that's actually a better point. It's not even their money. So they'll use your tax money, say it's in favor of this thing. They throw it down. Now look where we're at, you know. So the one last thing I want to mention here, Albert Pike, 1871 of August the 15th, 1871. There is an alleged letter, and I say alleged because it's actually very difficult to find the original copies of this letter. Although, you know, I don't really have any doubts that it's real. It is debatable to be able to find the original letter to prove that Albert Pike is the one that wrote it. But it is a well-documented letter, I should say. And in the letter, he laid, and this was written to an Italian nationalist who was also a member of the Illuminati back in 1871. So that's how you know this thing is actually still pretty recent. 1871, although a long time ago in relevance to now, is not that long ago. And the Illuminati was founded in 1776. So this is 100 years later, is still going, which I think kind of proves to show that it's still going to this day. But Albert Pike wrote this letter basically documenting three world wars necessary to provoke one world government, essentially leading the people into so much chaos that they would turn and say, you know, one world government's the only way to solve this. And I'll just read a couple lines from this article here. Is the First World War, and this is what he lays out in this letter, is the First World War was an effort to destroy the Tsar in Russia, as promised by Nathan Rothschild in 1815. It was as promised by Nathan Rothschild because they tried to set up a central bank in Russia earlier, around this time in the early 1800s, and the Tsar had wanted nothing to do with it, essentially. They did not see a use for it. They saw the evil spread of the Rothschild banking dynasty, and you know, that was that. So, but obviously, you know, World War One, Bolshevik Revolution, that's been completed. Second World War was to crush the ideas of fascism, to perpetuate Zionism, which we see with the founding of Israel in Palestine in 1948. Which is artificially created, which I know is going to be incredibly controversial to a lot of people reading that, but that's just the truth. Israel as a nation, since the time of Jesus Christ, was nothing until the year 1948. Palestine technically was actually already there, but they, you know, split this in half geographically, to cause strife within the Middle East yet again, and then artificially making this, you know, a place for the Jewish people to dwell in amongst a bunch of Arabic people, hence there being strife in the nation. And now I believe we are here in the Third World War, which would be used, again, written by Albert Pike, to stir up the Muslim world by taking advantage of the differences between Zionists and Muslims in the Middle Eastern region so that these nations create mutually assured destruction between each other. I don't know if you agree with that. I do feel like that's where we're at. I know we've had many conflicts in the Middle East, but when it involves Israel to this extent, I do feel like this is where we are.
It's a classic divide and conquer technique. They use it a lot. They use it in our country, you know, division between men and women, division between black and white. But yeah, it makes sense to me. And I think we are about there right now. I don't know if things will settle down or if they're just going to blow up. But I think we're using, you know, like our powers that be are using this Israel-Palestine conflict to get us in conflict with Iran.
And yeah, that's what I think.
And I've heard talk in North Korea too. And I reported on this, I think, last week. I was looking at four nations. It was Russia, China, North Korea, and Iran. And it basically was a graph chart that showed how, you know, what percentage of people thought that these nations were actually a threat. And of course, China was really high. Russia was really high. But then Iran, and this is over time, right? So Iran and North Korea used to be high, but they kind of, they dwindled down. And no one really cares about it because they're not talking about it in the news media. But all it takes is some kind of a false flag or something like this Israel thing. If Iran gets involved, then, you know, I stand with Israel. So we're going to go to war with Iran. And then that number is going to jump up again. They got to keep us in constant fear of these nations. And it is, it's going to be a global, I think, this time, because we got Taiwan to get us into war with China. We've got Israel to get us into war with Iran. We're already, you know, Ukraine and Russia. I don't know what's going to happen with North Korea. I kind of keep my eye on that.
I think North Korea and Russia are happening, or China, either one, I think, are
that
happening.
That could very well be, too. They could align themselves and we have another axis of evil, right? That's what
The reason I say that is because, I mean, Vice did that. Sorry, my cat keeps climbing on my camera. Vice did that documentary back in the day, literally going to the Siberian forced labor camps in Russia that were there in place of North Korea. So they had North Koreans in the forced labor camps in Siberia, Russia.
Oh, I didn't. I haven't seen that. I'll have to look for that.
Yeah, this was 11 years ago. Oh, no, it's actually probably longer than that. When I saw this, I'm like, when did I watch that? This is when Vice was still good. I think when Gavin McInnes still owned Vice, they actually did real reporting back then. But yeah, this was incredible. These Canadian guys went out there and literally walked right into the Siberian death camps and interviewed a bunch of North Korean dudes. And then the Russians who were running the camps obviously saw this happening, and they literally ran for their lives out of these camps to not, you know, become in, you know, go in there themselves, essentially. So the gulags still exist in all these countries. Bottom line, you know, spread the word of peace. Try to educate everybody, I think, on what is really happening, whether they want to listen or not, you know, is really individual, case by case. But yeah, do you have any closing thoughts on this, on the topics today?
I think you summed it up well. Spread the message of peace and understand that we are paying for these horrible things that are happening. We are paying for it. And if we're complicit, you might as well condone it. So we need to stand up against it.
Absolutely. And free Gonzalo Lira.
Yes.
If you follow Gonzalo Lira, or if this broadcast today inspired you to follow his work, please spread the message of free Gonzalo Lira. Thank you guys for listening.
Oh, follow your channel, Serge. Don't forget.
Oh, is this it right here?
Yeah, make sure if you're watching, make sure you hit the follow button.
Please follow my Rumble channel. I'm trying to build this up, you know, because I don't want to stream this on YouTube. Even though we're streaming it today on YouTube, I'm gonna eventually just stop that, because I mean, talking about the Rothschilds on YouTube is just not gonna seek me any longevity. Yeah, so please follow the Rumble channel, Surge the Purge, the purple icons, the one you want to look for there. And we're live every Friday, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time on Rumble and Twitter. That's going to be the main two, Rumble and Twitter. Make sure you follow Jason Barker at the Foxhole on Rumble, as well as Knights of the Storm. Let me pull up the website, Knights of the Storm, real quick, so everyone can follow you there. Yes, Knights of the Storm. Here we go. And then where can people find your email?
You can go to the friends. That's right there in the middle up top. And you're going to see.
Oh, yeah. Here you go. Where are you at?
If you go to the watch one, that's where you can see where the actual Knights of the Storm is. But then everyone else that we promote. And we're not doing Odyssey anymore. And, of course, YouTube banned us. So but I'll have to update that.
Yeah, no. Oh, nice. You have Greg Mannarino here. I didn't know that. Yeah. He's good. Oh, yeah, here you are. If you need to find Jason, everything's right here. Jason Barker, Twitter, Rumble, I guess not Odyssey, but then
I got to update this site, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, our old shows are still up there, but, you know, it's kind
fair
of a
enough.
Good place for us. So.
All right. Well, yeah, any closing thoughts before we get out of here?
That's it. Just thanks for having me again, man. This was fun.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you.